We asked Ron Van Dam to tell us what he knows about his listeners.
They're not pretty, and they make a lot of noise when they're mating.
I'm a little concerned as to how you know that. Probably best not to think about it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
All right, that's enough.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Ooh, I said that's enough. Stop it. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. It is The Ron Van Dam Show. I am the person to whom they refer to in the title. I'll be with you for the next half hour. May I take your coat? I mean, really, I'm going to keep it. I want to take your coat, and I'm going to keep your coat, because that's what I do. Well, I spoke to a vegan over the weekend from Vegas. That's what they call people from Vegas. Did you know that? Vegans. You didn't know that? And I found out I was plant-based. I'm plant-based. I didn't know that. I am. I am 100% certified organic meat. Thank you very much. I don't know how I did it, but I did. Only I'm not cage-free. I'm married. So there you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. Jason Shaw doing the music for our program. Original tune. Thank you, Jason. And also John Shanahan is the voice you hear at the beginning of the show. Comedy stuff. It's all him. And then, of course, the lovely and talented Nicole Reed, who is the British voice. Is she really British? You'll never know. And she also sets up many of her national interviews. Thank you very much. I'll be your pilot. Fasten your seatbelts and please observe the no smoking sign. I'd point out the exits, but there's really no point to that because you ain't going nowhere. I've just locked all the virtual doors. Everything's virtual. If I hear that word one more time, I'm virtually going to be upset. My God, everything's virtual. Although, it's better than real. I mean, you know, I'd like to introduce you to Ted. He never shuts up. He talks incessantly. Oh, now I'd like to introduce you to virtual Ted. And anytime you want him to shut up, just disconnect him. Well, I watched the Academy Awards over this weekend, the Oscars. I don't know how it turned into Oscar. I guess named after Oscar Levant. Generation gap.
Who's Ron? Who's Oscar Levant? What did he do? Did he invent the Academy Awards?
Oh no! Oh no! He was a horrible actor, and he also played piano.
How do you know these things, Ron? You're so intelligent. How do you know these things?
Oh, God, please stop it. Millennials, please just move to another planet. That's why we're trying to go to Mars, so that you can just go there. Take your people. We need a number of planets to you know, I don't want to segregate, but on the other hand, there should be a planet of the stupid. All the stupid-ass people. There's enough to fill a planet. Send them to a planet. Get them Uranus. How about that? That fits. And then the people that just are so annoying. They don't stop talking. They just all about themselves. Me, me, me. Did you hear what I did? You hear what I did? Me, me, me. And I do this and I do that. And their own planet as well. Their own planet. Now, people from all different cultures, all different backgrounds, who love each other in peace and harmony and respect, you can stay on this planet. All the rest of you, go choose a planet and go there. My God, please. Anyway, welcome to the program. I virtually welcome you. Can I virtually get you a drink? Should it virtually be alcoholic? Would you virtually like a finger sandwich? Choose your finger. Oh, yep, that's the right one. Boy, you know, every once in a while, someone who listens to this show will come up to me, and I don't like when they do, but will say, Ron, you don't seem to be that grumpy and that negative. And I say, I know, because this show is a theatrical effort. I am a thespian. I'm really a fun-loving, wonderful, adorable person. I am. This grumpy old bastard thing, it's an incredible performance. It really is. If you only knew how I have to practice day in and day out saying grumpy things and being a discontent, awful kind of person. That takes practice, man. That doesn't happen by itself. Yeah, that takes practice. So next time you're saying, what a grumpy bastard, just think, oh, but what an incredible thespian he must be. Okay, thanks. So I'm watching the Academy Awards, the Oscars, over the weekend, and I watched the very beginning. Now, I'm used to a comedian coming out and insulting all the movies and insulting all the people in it. It's kind of the Don Rickles theory of entertainment. I find it humorous. Everybody laughs. There was none of that this year. It was just people who were serious about stuff. God, no. Yeah, it wasn't good. The very beginning, they had some woman whom I didn't know walking down the hall with an Oscar in her hands. This happened like for over a minute with dramatic music in the background, or MUVIC, whatever. She can't pronounce music. And then she just started talking and said things which were very politically relevant, which I don't mind at all because I agree. But just it was just dull and flat and just awful. And I watched probably 3 minutes, and then I turned to another network and watched a game show. I mean, it was just awful. Here's the problem. I used to go to the movies, to the movie theater. It used to be an event, some place to go, comfortable seats, all that kind of stuff. Of course, with the social experiment for the past over a year now, haven't gone to the movie theater and haven't seen most of the films. But Ron, you know, some of the films were released streaming. I don't know what you're talking about. Is it like Field and Stream? I don't know what you mean. You know, you go to your computer. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go to my computer and watch a movie. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. No, Ron, you can stream it on your TV. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. I'm not a salmon. So I didn't see most of the movies or any of them pretty much. So when a movie won and the producers or the actor or actress got up and I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't even know what you're saying. I didn't see it. Why am I watching you? It's like watching the Tonys. The Broadway, you know, the Tonys are on once a year as well. Nobody goes to the Broadway shows if you don't live in New York. Pretty much. You know, I have no idea what they are, but at least they have little entertainment parts of it. There's no entertainment on this Academy Oscar thing. It was just an awful, awful presentation. You know, in the future, if you can't do it right, just don't do it. Just don't do it. Stop bothering us. Now, they actually had live people sitting in the audience, but it wasn't in a theater. It looked like it was in a restaurant, and I don't understand. I just didn't understand it. So how are you? How you doing? How was your weekend? How was your weekend? What did you do? Where did you go? What did you do? How was your weekend? Oh, God. The things we go through just to make idle conversation, it's unbelievable. On the Academy Awards, the Oscars, they had something that they're doing on other television programs now, and I find it annoying. You can't have big bands and orchestras for these shows. So what they do is they hire a person, and they put them behind a table with a this is so stupid, with a record player, and they act like they're a DJ at a wedding, and they usually choose people, minorities, usually black people or something like, because for some reason, when we think of playing music and DJs, we think of minorities. It's just so stupid. I mean, so they had one, and she was standing, I think it was a she, I wasn't even sure, standing behind a table. And it's Oscar music, you know, it's da 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 da, and this DJ person standing behind a record player is moving the record back and forth as if she's doing that stuff. But that wasn't in the music, so I knew immediately this is fake. And you know, if you've ever been to a television studio or you've ever had anything to do with television, the music doesn't come from a table set up on the side of the stage. It comes from the control room. I mean, come on, man. They have a fake DJ on the Ellen show. I don't know why. Now they're starting to get fake DJs. And it's just like, stop it. These are TV shows. You pipe in the music like it always was. Stop putting a person behind a table playing with a record player and moving the record back and forth. This is just so stupid. Hire a sound engineer. Get rid of the person on the stage. It looks stupid. It just looks stupid. If I'm going to a dance club or something or a wedding, okay, maybe. Or maybe a school prom or a school dance. But a television show, a record player, a person moving the record back and forth, seriously? Can we stop being so stupid looking, please? It's like the cardboard cutouts. Oh my God, remember those? We're starting to get away from that. We're starting to getting back to actual human beings sitting in the stands at a sporting event. Not a lot of them, but enough to not have the cardboard cutouts anymore. That was the stupidest thing I'd ever seen in my... The first time I saw that, my reaction was, this is like moronically, childishly stupid. I mean, cardboard cutouts of people. I mean, what are we supposed to think? Are the players supposed to... the athletes supposed to go, whoa, the stands are full with cardboard cutouts. Let's give it our all for the cardboard. We want to satisfy the paper. Then they'd pipe in the cheers. They should have had a DJ, a lone DJ in the stands with a record player. Cardboard cutouts. Who are you trying to fool? Who are you trying to fool? The audience? Watching on TV? Look, the stadium is full. Wow. Wait a minute. Those are cardboard cutouts. Please. Anyway, so stop with the fake TV DJs. It's just, it's annoying. It's like lip syncing. I mean, it's just annoying. Just stop it. Let's get back to stuff. Don't hang on to the annoying stuff. I am plant-based, by the way. I am. There's a little tag on my ass that says 100% certified organic plant-based human being. It's me. I'm still eating meat if it's packaged. I don't go out and eat wild animals or anything. You know, I don't shoot them or kill them. My God, what a horrible thing. But if they're prepackaged and filleted, I guess, every once in a while. I know it's horrible. I feel horrible about myself. I really do. I've said that so many times on this show. I wish I was vegan. Well, I'm not. Anyway, how are you? How you doing, huh? How you doing? Did you get vaccinated yet? Did you? For the flu? No. This is for the COVID thing. Oh, you got the wrong shot. Oh, you thought it was for rabies? No, it's for the COVID. Go get one. They have them at CVS now. The very people that I have to wait in line for an hour to get my prescription, or when I call my local CVS, I'm on hold for 3 hours. These are the people administering my, Johnson & Johnson. Sell your stocks, man. Sell your stocks if you have Johnson & Johnson. Get rid of these suckers. I'll tell you why. Remember the baby powder thing? Sued by millions of people? Because apparently they knew that their baby powder was toxic and going into people's lungs and stuff. They didn't do anything about it. That Johnson & Johnson, one of the largest consumer companies in the world, develop a vaccine, one shot, just one shot. You don't have to wait. You get the shot. And after that, you know, you wait a couple weeks and you're good. It's done. It's one and done, one and done. Well, apparently, 8 people contract a deadly blood reaction, and out of 7 million, and they take it off the shelves. Now again, Johnson & Johnson, man, how many stains do you need? How many stains do you need, Johnson & Johnson? Maybe you should get rid of one Johnson and just call it Johnson. Did you get your Johnson? I don't understand. What are we talking about here? I don't know which is. That's like when you, this is an old joke. You ready for an old joke? You call up Johnson & Johnson and the operator, which they don't have anymore, says, Johnson & Johnson, yes, I'd like to speak to Mr. Johnson. Oh, he's out of the office. He's not going to be back until next Tuesday. Well, can I speak to Mr. Johnson? Yes, hold on. For those of you that don't own a calendar, it's the end of April. I just want to let you know. I know I'm your only source of what day of the week it is, what time of the month. It's the end of April. This is the last week of April, and that's it. May is going to start toward the end of the week, and that means, you know what that means. I don't know. Mother's Day is coming up. That's the next holiday. It's the next reason to get a car. Why don't you just go to the stationery card store and just get all the cards for the whole year and save yourself trouble? Every time there's a holiday, you've got to run out and get a card for somebody. Get the most generic card you can possibly find that isn't too flowery, isn't too specific. Just something simple like, Happy Mother's Day. Yes, you are my mother. That's all, I think. That's what you do. You just, you know, happy birthday to the best person in the world, in most people's opinion. You know, just make it generic. Make it generic. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. There you go. That's generic. You can't go wrong with that. And then if you feel a little special message, you write it on the left-hand side of the card when you open it up. You know, something really, really meaningful and really specific to the person, like, this card is for you, addressed to you because you are special because you have this name. That's all you need to do. Of course, on the back of the greeting card, it has the price, so that's nice. Make sure it's over $5, otherwise you seem like a cheap bastard. Honestly, you seem like a cheap bastard anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But how many people flip over the greeting card to see how much they spent on the card? How many people do it? Raise your hand. Not a lot of people. Not a lot of people do that. Start doing it. You'll find, if it's one of those dollar shoebox cards, this was not an impressive situation then. Just make sure they spend over $5 on you at least, you know. I have an interesting guest coming up in just a second. Patty Wukovitz is here. She is a mother, and we're talking about meningitis, and we're talking about how that affects the family. Your circumstances are not pleasant. Please tell me about them.
Sure. I'll tell you my daughter's story of meningitis B. My daughter, Kimberly, was a healthy 17-year-old high school senior in New York. She was in her last week of school, looking forward to prom, looking forward to graduation. And she came home one afternoon complaining of body aches and a temperature of 101, and I thought perhaps she was coming down with the flu. However, the following morning, she had a few purple dots on one of her ankles, which very quickly turned into this large purplish rash, which started to cover her entire body. And as a registered nurse, I knew this was very serious, and I rushed Kim to the emergency room. And the doctor in the emergency room told me that she suspected Kimberly had bacterial meningitis and that the bacteria had actually infected her blood. And I remember being so shocked because Kimberly had been vaccinated with the meningitis vaccine.
Oh.
And it was then that I learned, it was right then and there that I learned that the meningitis vaccine that Kimberly received at 11 and 16 years old only protected her against serogroups A, C, W, Y, and didn't protect her against serogroup B or meningitis B.
Oh.
And my daughter died.
Oh,
and it was devastating. And I buried my daughter 2 days before her high school graduation in this beautiful prom dress that she was all ready to, go wear and dance in.
Mm.
And, it was quite devastating. And she was a perfectly healthy high school senior. And the vaccine came out 2 years later for meningitis B.
God.
And that's why I do the work that I do.
Wow. Are there any other strains that are not covered yet? Or is this it?
So we're talking about meningococcal meningitis, and there are five common bacteria, five common serogroups, A, C, W, Y, and B. And up until 2014, we had a vaccine that protects against only A, C, W, and Y.
Mm-hmm.
But now we also have a vaccine, and it's a separate vaccine. But we have another vaccine that protects against serogroup B or meningitis B. And both of these meningococcal meningitis vaccines are CDC recommended. And people need to know about both of them. Because without getting the meningitis B vaccine, they're just as protected as my daughter Kimberly was. And that wasn't enough.
Patty, if a mother were to take her child to a doctor right now, family practitioner, would they even know that there was a second vaccine? Would they even offer it?
A lot of healthcare providers do offer the meningitis B vaccine. However, I want parents to have the information so that they can be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
And they can. I want parents to simply ask their doctors, has my child also received a meningitis B vaccine? So to just say, has my child been protected against meningitis? It's really not good enough. They need to take it a step further and say, but has my child also received the meningitis B vaccine? Because I know without that meningitis B vaccine, my child's not fully protected against meningococcal meningitis.
You know, Patty, when I think about it, it would make sense that a school system based on a federal mandate would inform parents through a note in the mail or with the report card or something that your child should be vaccinated against these particular, and listed there is meningitis B. Do schools do that?
No, they do not. There are only at this time, there are many schools that have a meningitis vaccine mandate.
Right.
However, that mandate is only for the men ACWY.
That's what I thought.
So we can be right. So that could be at, 7th and 12th grade, between 7th and 12th grade. And also college. Many parents falsely assume that when their child goes off to college,
mm-hmm.
when they receive that meningitis vaccine, that they're fully protected. But if parents don't know, and if their school doesn't recommend the meningitis B vaccine, they're not going to know about it. So it's really important that parents be educated.
I wouldn't send a child to college without being vaccinated for everything, including including everything, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Okay.
Including everything is right. You know, we have all these things in our toolbox. Let's use them. Let's protect our kids.
Yeah.
We're sending them off to college, out to the world, and they really need to be protected. And not all schools. In fact, there's only 42 schools, colleges, and universities that we are aware of that actually mandate the meningitis B vaccine.
That's crazy.
A lot of them mandate the other meningitis vaccine, but only 42 mandate the meningitis B vaccine.
Yeah.
And 100% of our college campus outbreaks in the last 10 years are all attributed to meningitis B.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that in the name of your daughter, you're spreading the word. It makes what you've gone through, what she went through, important. So that's good. Sorry you have to go through it so many times, but at the same time, it makes her life mean something. But I am shocked that on a federal basis or even on a state basis, there is not a list of vaccines that is recommended you get your child at certain ages because parents just don't know. They don't know what to ask.
Well, the CDC does recommend both the MenACWY vaccine and the MenB vaccine.
Yeah.
Both recommended. However, if you don't have that information,
exactly,
you can only know what you know.
Exactly.
You can ask for something that you don't know about.
That's right. That's right. I guess bottom line is have a conversation with your doctor, your child's doctor, and make sure that you got a list of everything, and they will be happy to.
Including the meningitis B vaccine, because they may not bring it up. And this way, now parents will have that information, and they can have that educated and informed conversation, and they can make a shared decision together.
Yeah, I mean, in life, you do everything you can to prevent this, but at the same time, there's so many things where you just wake up the next morning, and all of a sudden, you have it. That's what life is sometimes, unfortunately. Okay.
Right. My daughter was just like anybody else's child, perfectly healthy. Yeah.
That's the scariest part of everything. Where do we get more information about this?
You can get more information at meningitisbactionproject.org, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Great. Patty, you make an excellent spokesperson, and thanks for being here today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been a wonderful situation. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with a brand new show because that's what I do. You go to work every day, I hope. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're retired. I don't know. Maybe you're an auto mechanic. I don't know. Maybe you're a dentist. I don't know. I don't know what you do or what you don't do. Maybe you're just a lazy bastard who sits at home in your basement and smokes pot. I really don't know. And to be honest with you, on the care meter, not even registering. But this is what I do. This is now what I do. I've been doing it on the side for 30 years. Well, not on the side. It's been an income. Incoming. 30 years of this bullshit. Anyway. What are you having for dinner tonight? Do you do that? I do. No matter how busy I am or how unbusy, bored I am, around breakfast time, I actually say to myself, let's say, what am I going to prepare for dinner? I think it's because I love to cook. I really do love to cook. So eating dinner is an exciting event for me. It's glorious. It's preparation and immediate satisfaction. Until you go to the bathroom, then it's all over. We used to say to each other all the time, we went out to an expensive steak dinner. Steak dinners are like $80, $100 or something per person. And we used to say, I'm never going in the bathroom again. This steak is staying with me for a few days because that was really expensive. And then, of course, the next morning, there it is. By the way, this is disgusting, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. I'm just going to tell you this. If you ever want to track your food through your digestive system, when you sit down and have that meal, involve corn because corn does not break down. It goes out the same way it comes in. Yellow and nibblety. It's an amazing food. I don't know of any other food that comes out in its whole original form when it was ingested. Maybe plastic toy soldiers, but other than that, corn, man, it just don't break down. Did you ever try to smash corn with a mallet? You can't. It's just resilient. It bounces back and hits you in the face. The mallet does. That's not true. I'm exaggerating. I'm gone for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. This is like a TED talk, and my name's not even Ted. That's how bad it was.